I'm Carolyn Holzman, and this is Confessions of an SEO. This is where I'm sharing my experiences in SEO, both as an SEO and an SEO tester. Through testing, I can watch Google's feet, and like every SEO tester on the planet, I don't have to wait for an announcement. I just have to wait to see what Google does. So if you're an independent or agency SEO, you know I get you. Business owners and stakeholders, I was a local business owner of a CD and DVD duplication studio for quite a long time. And I understand you're wanting to try to understand better. So please stay receptive and remember, no matter how smart you are not an SEO. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 16 of Confessions of an SEO. I'm titling this one, Great Expectations. That'll make sense here in just a little bit. Now, a little housekeeping. I listened to last week's episode and my voice sounded as tired as I was actually feeling. And it's not that when you go to a conference like this that you're digging ditches tired, but it does take up a lot of energy. Not to mention that at no time during that week did I sleep all the way through the night. I did sleep like a baby. I woke up every 2 hours, but I'm happy to say that now I'm home. A full night's sleep sure feels great. Now, if you're tuned into SEO at any level, you may know this week that the SERPs have been weird. Yesterday, the weather tools went berserk. Now, I've checked all my sites and they're steady, or they went up, or in the case of Bing, one of my pages went from nowhere to number 6 for a non-local SEO search term. Now, I'm not saying that like, oh, look at me, yahoo, I'm so smart. I just mean it in terms of explaining that, you know, sometimes when you start to see the weather tools, it doesn't necessarily mean that anything actually changed. I know that sounds weird, right? First time I heard it, I was like, how is that possible? So it is possible that, you know, a lot of things are changing, but not really seeing a lot of evidence of that. And there is the slight possibility that they might have changed some of the HTML in the search results, which means tools which are trained to look for certain things might be encountering some issues. So in other words, don't take the fact that the weather, SEO weather, the volatility weather, goes crazy and think like, oh no, my on-page is at risk. Maybe not. You know, it could be other things that are outside of your control. Nevertheless, it is quite perplexing when we see these things. So I'm probably going to do something insane. Like I'm going to try to verbally describe what I did today. And when I started this morning, you know, normally I do a couple of hours. I'm looking at server logs. I'm taking notes. I'm, you know, kind of like trying to connect dots and spend some time with it. Well, I wish, right? It's taken me all day. And so one of the things I wanted to share is something that I saw. And if you have a computer in front of you, you can just start searching and see if this is true for you where you are, right? It's pretty much been confirmed that this is only in the US. I did ask somebody, and I think he's in Australia, and he was saying when he logged into, you know, the US Chrome location, he saw what I saw. And so, like, for instance, I took a search term like mechanical pencils and put it in the search thing, hit enter, and when it came back, there was actually something additional on the page right underneath that bar, you know, where you put in you type in your search term. Underneath that, normally you see a thing that says shopping, images, news, maps, and more. Well, when I did that for mechanical pencils, and this happens when you're logged into Gmail as well, you'll see some additional options. Now, I'm assuming that it's based on, you know, search history, but it showed me a lot of different things that were not just the shopping, the images, the news, the maps, and more. And so I got really kind of obsessed by this. And so I kept searching, and I stumbled on a news story about how Google found some, they actually said 8 serious vulnerabilities in Chrome. And well, I'll tell you what they call it here in just a second. But the reason that this was so fascinating to me and why I was just so, took me all day to do this, is this morning, Google issued a new Googlebot, but a Chrome build. They had just done a previous Chrome build on Sunday. So that's like 5 days, right? So I'm thinking, why would they do 2 Chrome browsers in the same week unless there was something wrong with the Chrome build? Well, then I stumbled on this story and I realized, oh my God, I understand that most Chrome builds are security things, but they were talking about how they call it a 0-day vulnerability. In other words, whatever they found was so dangerous to, I guess, internet security, that you literally have to fix it as soon as possible. You don't even have a day. Like, they think of it in terms of, like, I know for CD manufacturing, we always had, like, you know, day 0 might have been when absolutely everything was put together. That wasn't actually day 1 of production. You had to put things together on day 0. So when I saw 0-day, it got me to thinking, well, what is this? So now Google didn't go into the nature of the vulnerability because I guess they don't want to give hackers any more bad ideas than they already have. But I looked it up to see what that problem might be, and they call them 0-day exploits. And these things can target individuals, organizations, even governments. A lot of the targets are financial institutions, and they steal sensitive financial information to carry out fraudulent transactions. Imagine that. And if it's a government agency, they're trying to usually get classified information or disrupt critical infrastructure. So it's something you don't want to mess with. And when I read that, you know, that Google's in charge of Safe Search. So that made me think, like, wow, Safe Search caught something. And it was really serious. So I'll put the link in the description in case you're interested in finding out more. But either way, the best advice they gave, and what I also did and recommend that you do, is update your Chrome browser if you're on a Windows or a Mac. Now, at least for now, like I said, we're probably not in an algorithmic update. And it might just be a coincidence. Like I said, we might be looking at broken tools. But anyway, I think, you know, we still need a little more time to observe what might be impacted, if anything at all. But I'm gonna tilt towards the, I don't think we need to, let's just update our Chrome browsers. The SEO conference I attended in Scottsdale is called SEO Spring Training. Terry and Elizabeth Samuels did a fine job in creating the space for us as SEOs to exchange ideas, discuss some of our challenges, specifically when it comes to being an agency. And I know I've said it before, client work brings its own issues. And everyone and his brother is ready to tell the SEO who is having issues with a client is that they, the SEO, didn't set the expectations correctly. Hardly anyone ever mentions that the business might already have outrageously great expectations of the SEO work. And this week there was a terrific discussion in a Facebook group about this, in particular to client work. In one case, the SEO work had seriously increased this business's page one presence. And as a result, the site generated the best sales months ever. And it was all tracking, you know, since they really hit a lot of page one for a lot more keywords than they were ranking for before. And, I mean, increased apparently between 80% and 200% over the best month prior to the SEO campaign. So the client was completely tracking and attributing the increase to the SEO work. What was the problem, you could ask? Well, despite having more than they had ever had before, the business was not convinced that what they received was enough. Now, this is particularly frustrating. There is so much training out there on how an SEO should set expectations, and yet so little for how a business owner should set their own when it comes to SEO. One clearly experienced SEO responded to this discussion, and they clearly laid out the challenge for the client to understand. You know, SEO might 10x their traffic, but those visitors to become customers means that likely it will take more touch points to convert them. And those touch points are outside of the ability of SEO. The business owner has to have the ability to reach back out to those visitors, whether they retarget them or they somehow exchange something for their email or their mobile phone, but some way that the business owner had the control to reach out to them and entice them back to the site, offer them something. Plus, let's also look at it this way. What if a business has leads from the SEO, but a sales team that can't convert? Is that also the SEO's problem? Unfortunately, it's very common that SEO clients want the SEO team they hired to do the entire job. I'm not going to say it, but I want to do an F-bomb. The entire job of the business for them. They literally sit there and wait for the phone to ring. They have no follow-up system in place, but they sure do expect the SEO will take care of the nasty business of conversion. So how can we do better? And at the same time, without a lot of pain on our part, educate a prospect. Good question, right? Interestingly enough, last week at the conference, I did have the pleasure of hearing Lisa Parziali talk about her SEO calculator. Now, I've known about this calculator for a while, and it really is quite something. And now that I'm thinking of getting back into agency work, I'm looking at it again, considering it again. Now, she spent years processing out every little stinking piece of the ranking puzzle, anything that would be part of an SEO campaign. And she did it so well that when she reviews a site alongside with, you know, in conjunction with what the client wants to rank for, AKA their expectations, she identifies the deficits and whatever it doesn't have, she plugs those items into her calculator, which basically are going to be things that her whole team will do. So what they don't have is what she is filling in the gaps for. So let's say it's some monthly content, optimizing existing content, backlinks, you know, and she even includes the time to prepare reports when they meet with clients. Ha ha ha. That is one thing I always forgot. Whatever it's going to take to turn those things so that they're ranking well and know what is going to be done for them. So that's what the client or the customer or the prospect, I guess it's prospect. So they kind of see all the pieces that they're missing and then what it's going to take to maintain, you know, it's all in there. And she knows how many hours it's going to take to do that, because she's processed everything out, not only what to do, but timed it. So I guess that's a time study. So once she fills that out, she lets the client set the budget. So if they say, well, let's start with $1,000 a month, She knows how many hours her agency can provide at that rate. And she can give them an idea that if this is everything we need to do, and you want to invest, not spend, invest $1,000 a month, like she'll say, how long does this take? Pop a little button. And then it will say, like, for instance, it could say at that rate, it's going to take 16 or 22 or whatever months to get all those things that need to make them rank well. What's cool is more often than not, after hearing how long it's going to take at the lower budget, most of them ask her, well, what if we doubled that budget? And so then at $2,000, it's more like 8 months. You know, you think opportunity cost. So it's really quite masterful. And I have to say, to date, I haven't seen anything that both takes care of the agency's need to know what they need to do and what they're invoicing and all that kind of stuff, and educates the customer so well that they feel comfortable setting the budget. What's really cool, if you're curious about this, Lisa teaches this in one of her courses. So if you're interested, you can either reach out to me, email confessions@AmericanWayMedia.com, or you can find her by Googling Agency Fast Track. Just tell her I sent you. Now, by the time we get back together, I'm so excited. I'll probably have a new office buddy with me. He's an English cream golden retriever who knows he might get his own Instagram profile. Well, that's it for this week. Check out Crawl or No Crawl for the new findings in the ongoing, ever exciting indexation research project. Thank you to the supporters of Confessions. Thank you for being a listener. Please come back and bring a friend. If you'd like to support this podcast, there's a short link in the description. It's a bit.ly link, bit.ly/confessionssponsor. Yes, that's two S's in the middle. It's been my pleasure to be with you, and I'll see you in the SERPs.